our next presenter, who is Jonathan Koppus, who's recently joined the faculty at the University of Illinois as a clinical assistant professor of law and policy in the College of Agriculture, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences in the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Economics. Previously, Jonathan served as chief counsel of the Senate Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry for Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow. Prior to joining the Ag Committee, he was administrator of the Farm Service Agency at the USDA. And before becoming appointed to the USDA position, Jonathan was a legislative assistant for Senator Ben Nelson. Jonathan grew up on his family's corn and soybean farm in western Ohio and practiced law in Chicago before moving to Washington to work on agricultural policy. He earned his bachelor's from Miami University in Oxford, Ohio, and his Juris Doctor from the George Washington University Law School in Washington, D.C. It is indeed a pleasure and an honor to welcome Jonathan today. Thank you for joining us, and we very much look forward to your comments and insights.
Well, thank you. Happy to be here, and I hope to shed maybe a little bit of light on what is certainly a process and at times a complex process on how the statute gets put into action through the regulations and the implementation process. So I'm going to provide a pretty high-level overview of what this process looks like and leave as much time as possible for questions. I know there are a lot of questions out there about how this is going to work. The first thing I would note, if you saw on the news, the Secretary of Agriculture, Secretary Vilsack, made a little bit of news down at the Commodity Classic the other day, in which he stated, or it was reported that the Secretary stated there that sign-up for the programs, for the price loss coverage and the agriculture risk coverage programs, is not likely to happen until sometime this fall. There were no dates, there's no deadlines put in place yet, but they certainly are looking at the fall timeline as when this might come about. So that was announced this morning, which kind of leads to the question then, what's going to take so long, or why is it taking so long? Let's go through the general steps for regulation. I mean, the very first thing that happens now that the bill's down at USDA is the agency, in this case the Farm Service Agency, and more specifically the Deputy Administrator for Farm Programs within the agency, then starts the process of writing the regulation. This is sort of filling in all the blanks in the statutory language, defining everything and moving through how the program's going to operate. Once the agency writes the regulation, it goes through a departmental clearance process. That's back through the Secretary's office and the Office of General Counsel at the Department of Agriculture. And then it would go to the Office of Management and Budget, OMB, and this goes through another review process. It's called an interagency review and clearance process in which other parts of the federal government, other departments, the EPA and others review this process to make sure that there's not conflicts or other issues with laws and statutes under their jurisdiction. And then once that happens, it typically will go to the Federal Register, where it goes up for public review and comment. The standard process is that this is posted. Members of the public then have time, sometimes 30, 60, 90 or more days, to write comments on the regulation. There's also a time built in here for the congressional committees and for members of Congress to review and provide comments. And then all of that goes back into the agency, back to the regulatory writers in the agency, who then have to answer every comment or respond to every comment and then make adjustments to the rule based on all the feedback that's come through the system or not. There's no requirement they actually change the rule from the way it was proposed. But once the comment period is over, then they put the final, and it goes back through the departmental and then the OMB review processes again. Then it's finalized and published in the Federal Register and becomes an effective final rule. So as you can see, there's quite a process to get through there. That's for the normal regulatory process. Now, programs in Title I of the Farm Bill, so the commodity programs, as well as the supplemental coverage option and stacks, all have what is called expedited rulemaking authority. This is specific language in the Farm Bill that permits the Farm Service Agency to bypass certain steps or requirements in the normal process. Mostly what we're looking at is the public notice and comment period and the congressional review period are basically not required for the regulations for Title I programs, and from this Farm Bill, this includes stacks and SCO as well. They're expedited through the process. Now, in the bill, the Secretary is instructed to have the regulations out within 90 days, but this is rarely, if ever, accomplished, and certainly with the complexities in these programs is not expected in this Farm Bill. So in this expedited process, we go back to the same place we started before. These regulations are written at the agency. The agency also is going to have to undertake writing or creating the software that will operate the programs and make the payments. So it isn't just that they're writing the regulation. They've got an entire crew of information technology people, members of the agency that will design the software to run these programs out in the county offices. And they also have to write the handbooks and the other material that we consider to be the guidance for the field staff. If you you guys are probably all very familiar with how FSA operates, as it has over 2,000 offices in the counties across the country, and that's where a lot of the on-the-ground work happens, where farmers go in and sign up. And so there has to be guidance, there has to be handbooks and everything for those field staff to run the programs. And, of course, there's going to be an effort to train the field staff as this progresses. So you can see quite a process just at the agency level as well. While we are on an expedited review or an expedited rulemaking process for FSA regs, for the farm program regs, they still have to go through departmental review and some level of review at the Office of Management Budget, so that does take a significant amount of time. As I mentioned, software, you've probably heard about this in many forms and many different opinions and thoughts on this, but the software challenges at FSA have been significant. They were a significant challenge in implementing the 2008 Farm Bill. It can be expected they will continue to be a challenge. But with these programs, as they become complex and the decisions and the multiple farm entity issues that you got to sort through, this software is a challenge, and we can expect that to take a significant amount of time. And, of course, as Professor Smith just went through trying to explain a first round of these programs, explaining them to field staff and working through the training and all the efforts that have to go on in order to permit them to be effective, to provide what is in effect customer service. There's quite a bit of training that has to go on there. And as mentioned, what we have complicating this process are the complexity of the program. So we've got a price-based program, the PLC program, and we have two different versions of a revenue program under the ARC acronym. And farmers are choosing among those programs. If it's PLC and ARC county, they can go commodity by commodity. The ARC individual has this multiple commodity calculation, which are adding across the multiple program crops. Those are extraordinarily complex from an administrative standpoint, not just for the regulation, writing the regulations, but even probably more complex in trying to put software together and get the programs operational. So that is a big, big challenge. As was mentioned previously, we have multiple decisions now that have to be made by farmers and landowners. So you've got base acre reallocation decision, you've got a payment yield update decision, and then you have the decisions on the programs and how those will play out. Between farmers and landowners, these programs all pay on base acres, so the landowner is certainly involved in this process. And as we mentioned, the IT challenges are substantial, budgetary challenges at FSA and staffing challenges that come out of the budget reductions that the agency has seen in the last 5 to 8 years now, have added to the challenges for the agency, both in writing software and having the capability on the IT side, as well as having the staff at the local offices all the way up into the national headquarters program writing offices. So quite a few challenges added to this process for the agency. And then just to make it even more complex, we also have various issues with planting and harvest dates for the various commodities. So this regulatory writing process will be taking place. We've already got wheat in the ground across the country. Corn and soybeans and other spring planted crops will be happening. And then obviously even harvest dates, if we're talking about the fall, that's going to complicate the process. That's going to complicate dates and sign-up capabilities, and it also adds to some of the issues about, you know, what will farmers know when they go into the office. If we're talking late fall, then that means almost all of these crops will have been harvested. We'll know prices, we'll know yields. That'll impact farmers' decisions, and it'll certainly will have some impact. Now, I think as was mentioned previously, the programs as they operate use the marketing year average. So for, say, for corn and soybeans, your marketing year will begin in September of 2014 and run all the way around to August of 2015. So no payments actually will come out in the 2014 crop or the 2014 calendar year. The 2014 crop year will be paid a year delayed, if you will, be paid out in October of 2015. So there is time in that regard. But, you know, one of the complicating factors is that these programs begin operating for this crop year, and so decisions will have to be made for 2014 crop year while all of these other matters are going on. So hopefully that provides a little bit of an overview and maybe some areas or some explanation of why it takes so much time and why it has become so complex. And I think a great question that came up in putting this together was, well, what do we do in the meantime? And certainly where there's strong interest, and from what I've heard in meetings and discussions thus far, there's some significant concern from farmers and crop insurance agents and others involved in this process, particularly about the decisions and what all this means for their farm and for their operations, both the acres they own, the acres they rent, how they deal with landlords. And so there's a lot of questions and information out there. So we can also look at a parallel education process that can go on as these things are put together. Certainly things like this webinar today and others that can help build an understanding, explain what's in the bill, explain the provisions and the programs and how the operational, some of what we can see on the operational side of it, and help with the decisions. Are there, you know, the tools that can provide analysis, that can guide farmers to help them understand? I think Dr. Smith made the comment that, you know, a big part of this is going to be sort of farmers' willingness or ability to project or forecast prices out in the future, and that's going to be a big part of the decision making on these program decisions. And to the extent that information can be put together, that analysis and other sort of decision aiding tools can be put together, then that will be a big part of it as well. And that'll allow information to get to the farmers, allow them to talk to their landlords, deal with their bankers, look at their crop insurance purchase, their risk management decisions on their farm, and hopefully by the time the agency's ready to begin sign up, there will be a lot of information out there for farmers, and that should help smooth the decision making process and maybe even sign up. That's certainly the optimistic view. We'll see how it all plays out in the coming months. With that, I do want to put a plug in for the work we're doing here at the University of Illinois. Particularly FarmDoc Daily and the FarmDoc site, where we will be putting out weekly posts on different issues for the Farm Bill, particularly for Title I and crop insurance. And this week we're doing a webinar on the details of the farm programs, in the commodity programs in Title I. That'll be on Wednesday, March 5th at 8 a.m. Central Time. And with that, happy to take some questions.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Jonathan, for your observations and keen insights on how this rulemaking process works. We've got a number of questions come in here, probably drawing heavily from your experience and expertise as far as how the process works. The first one asks, does President Obama's announcement on expediting the livestock disaster program impact its time frame for implementation, and what is the time frame expected for livestock disaster programs?
Yeah, I believe USDA has announced that sign up for the livestock disaster programs. That's the Livestock Indemnity Program, LIP, and Livestock Forage Program, LFP, the ELAP program, which is another emergency livestock assistance program, and then the tree assistance program. Those signups are currently scheduled in April, I do believe, is the announcement I saw from USDA. Certainly having the president weigh in, the secretary weigh in and say this is a matter that needs to be expedited helps. These programs also were not substantially changed from the 2008 Farm Bill, from the programs that were ran out of that Farm Bill that they actually expired back in 2011. This Farm Bill will pick those up for 2012 and run them out through 2018. So from the agency and the rulemaking process, it's a lot easier because there are not substantial changes. So these programs can be picked up. They were basically put on the shelf back in 2011. That's using a very simplified metaphor, but they were sort of put on the shelf, if you will, in 2011, and they can be pulled back and updated and operated much quicker and easier, which is why you're seeing this timeline. Also, the Secretary and the President made the point that with the drought and the suffering in the livestock industry from the last couple of years, the need for these programs is substantially stronger and more immediate for those producers.
Right. So here's another question that's kind of tied to that. Came in a bit earlier, but I think you've just touched on it. When we start talking about these years, 2012, 2013, 2011, are we talking about the fiscal year? Or are we talking about calendar year as far as the farm bill is concerned?
That's a great question, and not to make light of it, but to make everything as confusing as possible, we use multiple years depending on what we're talking about. The disaster programs ran on fiscal year, so they expired with fiscal year 2011. The commodity programs in Title I run on the program crop year, they run on a crop year basis, and they include things like the marketing year average. So you actually have what comes out to be multiple calendars that we're using. So depending on which program you're talking about, the PLC ARC programs will be on a crop year. So beginning with the 2014 crop year, which for corn and soybeans will be planted this spring and harvested in the fall. For wheat, it was planted last fall and will be harvested this calendar year. But those programs operate on a crop year basis.
Okay, well, it is more complicated, isn't it? So one other question then, it kind of follows again on your experience here, because a lot of folks don't understand what goes on in a lot of ways behind the scenes. But how much lobbying input is asserted at the agency rulemaking phase of the game? Any insights you can share with us on that?
Obviously, we use the term lobbying maybe to cover a very wide variety of activities. Certainly, members of Congress, through the oversight capabilities, will be keeping a close eye on this process and will have a lot of influence, and they will meet with the various interest groups that have been working on this throughout the 3-year farm bill process. There are opportunities for meetings with the agency, so commodity groups can meet with the agency. There are opportunities to meet at OMB, to meet at the departmental level. There are, however, some rules and restrictions as far as while a regulation is under development consideration, people have to be careful within the agency and at all levels of the executive on how you treat it, and that you don't have these sort of meetings that may influence the process unfairly. So there'll be, there's sort of a variety of how that goes on, but there will be a lot of input provided at all levels as this process goes forward. And sometimes that can complicate matters. Sometimes it can help clarify. Certainly, when Congress is able to explain some of the areas that are maybe not as clear, when they can provide more input, that can be helpful as well. But you will see quite a bit of activity and discussions. There's a series of rules, and not to get too complicated about it, but it can be a little bit more restricted maybe than what some folks would think normally.
All right. Well, thank you again very much for those insights. Having that understanding that you have of the behind-the-scenes work is really invaluable in some ways to understanding what's going on as far as the game at this stage of where things are in the proceeding for rollout for producer decision-making and so on. So hopefully you'll be able to stay with us. There's a number of other questions that come in specifically for you, looks like. But in the interest of time and to make sure we give enough time for our third presenter,